When you have a valuable asset, you hopefully do all that's necessary to protect and preserve it. You make sure it's secure, protected, safe from the surrounding environment. Unfortunately, the state of New Jersey hasn't seen fit to apply this concept when it comes to Lake Opatcon, which, by the way, state's largest body of fresh water. They've neglected it for years now. We're now seeing the price of that neglect, which my first guest is here to discuss. He's the director of the New Jersey League of Conservation Voters, Ed Postosnik. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And website for New Jersey League of Conservation Voters, njlcv.org. Just to recap for someone listening and might not be fully tuned into what's been happening down in Lake Opatcon, what is causing the situation that is preventing people from going into the water?
Well, as you're probably aware, the lake was closed back at the end of June due to heavy rainfall. We call that polluted runoff or stormwater. When the rain comes down, it picks up pollutants from the surface, runs unabated off of our concrete and pavement into our rivers and streams, and then into the lake, causing nutrient-rich water, which causes the blue-green algae to bloom. And that's toxic and has caused the lake to close to water contact. So swimming, having your dog in there, still is open for boating.
Even though I wouldn't be too happy about water spraying in my face, given what you've just described, if I was on the boat.
Well, it certainly is a concern, but folks up there have been very clear, that it's still open for boating. Ultimately, I think years of inadequate action to address stormwater has left the lake at a tipping point. And with more rain events that we've been seeing, the last 3 years have been the wettest on record, it is really overcoming the lake, and it's not able to recover. And we're going to see more of this, and unfortunately, this could go on for some time into the future here in the lake.
It was 2 or was it 3 years ago where a similar situation happened, and the lake wasn't declared safe until I think it was September of that year.
Yeah, that would be very unfortunate. You know, I grew up swimming. I learned to water ski on Lake Opatcon. It's an economic engine for the region. It's also, you know, really important to the business owners that have dedicated the surrounding area and the homeowners, you know, that live there and folks that rent out the houses for the summer. They're losing income. I think there's a real opportunity here to use this as a lesson to move forward, to actually put some things in place to clean up the stormwater. There are working systems such as green infrastructure that can absorb water like a sponge, clean it up, and so it doesn't run off into the lake and cause the problems that we're seeing.
And keep in mind now, we're talking about, and this goes to both parties, and as far as governors are concerned and the Democratic legislature, they have just totally underfunded and outright neglected Lake Opatcon, just to, even to the bare necessities of the weeding process. So the Lake Opatcon Commission had to beg and plead for just funding for the basics, never mind any prevent defense.
There is no doubt that water bodies have been underfunded for far too long. We're also seeing closures in other places like Spruce Run. There's a lake in Mercer Park called the Rosedale Lake. They're looking into Swartzwood Lake as well because, you know, stormwater is running, polluted into the water. So what we've done with something called Flood Defense New Jersey is worked with the legislature on bipartisan legislation to create the ability for local municipalities to get together and create something called a stormwater utility that would assess a fee on hardened surfaces, concrete and pavement, and then use that money to help, in this case, save Lake Opatcon from the problems associated with the stormwater. There's a lot of shortfalls in municipal budgets and state budgets, and that has created a backlog of $17 billion upwards of stormwater infrastructure needs in our state. And with no money in sight, this is something that can, go into effect in the, coming year or, to get this under control once and for all.
Let's talk about that bill that passed as now law for the stormwater runoff utility. I mean, the detractors call it the rain tax, whatever you want to name it. But what are a couple of biggest myths about this? For example, would this mean every resident of Lake Opatcon has to pony up money?
Well, no, actually, the Clean Stormwater and Flood Reduction Act, which was a bipartisan piece of legislation that the governor signed into law just in March allows local municipalities to create a stormwater utility. And it's permissive, not mandatory, so they don't have to do it. They can do nothing. They can use an existing utility and add stormwater to one of the things that it does. They can ask the county to use an existing utility, or they can create a new one. But the idea is that it's very locally controlled. So folks can decide at the local level, the municipal level, how they want to go about establishing it, and, for that matter, who pays. The biggest myth is that everyone's paying, and, in fact, it really depends on what they want to do locally. So if you want to charge strip malls and parking lots, then the stormwater utility would assess a fee on them. The one thing the bill has is it requires the utility to give credits to folks who handle their stormwater. So the more you do to make sure that pollution doesn't leave your property, the less you'll pay. And that follows, you know, a polluter's pay tradition in New Jersey.
Talking with Ed Potosnick, who is the director of the New Jersey League of Conservation Voters, NJLCV.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. On the proponent's side, was there any concern that this law excludes farmlands as from falling under the idea of the fee for the utility? Because a lot of what farmlands do, I'm not swinging a bat at them, just a natural occurrence in their business, they create a lot of negative runoff.
I mean, it's something that came up as a concern. We look back, 40 other states have stormwater utility legislation allowing municipalities to move forward to fund, you know, green infrastructure to clean the polluted runoff and prevent algae blooms like this in their water bodies. And in lots of cases, agriculture was excluded for a number of good reasons, including they're already monitored by a number of programs at the state level and federal level that work to make significant reductions. You know, this is more than a problem of just fertilizer alone, or that is a good and a big contributor to the problem. You know, just average debris, just nature itself, has nutrients. And when we cover those up with buildings and structures, the land can't do its job. And it is a wonderful filter when we let it, and we have to do other infrastructure pieces like green infrastructure, rain gardens, natural systems to absorb that water like a sponge and clean it up.
Now, you mentioned that the stormwater utilities would be a local creation, management, and et al. But the original measure that went to the governor had a stipulation either 5% of the revenue to the utility or $50,000, whichever is more, of course, must be sent on to the state. So with that math, to meet the $50,000 threshold, a local stormwater utility would have to take in $1 million in fees. Did that stipulation stay with what the governor wound up signing?
It is, and, you know, that has a good reason, and that is, you know, at the state level, they're going to be providing all kinds of support to ensure that these are implemented properly, and they're using the most effective methods and best practices to get to the root of the problem and make significant reductions. And so that's what that has to do with. There's going to be new kinds of requirements at the DEP as far as staff goes and documentation, monitoring, et cetera, because we want to make sure our funds are being used appropriately and efficiently. I think it's also important to sort of mention, when we look at Lake Apakong, which is the state's largest lake, as you mentioned, it's estimated that somewhere between 30 to 50% of the pollution in the lake is from stormwater. The average in the state, it's upwards of 60% of the water pollution in our water bodies come from polluted runoff. And that's significant. And New Jersey has a legacy of development, you know, dating back to, you know, before I was even a kid. And those properties did not require stormwater management. So this is a problem that really dates back that we need to address today to, you know, save these resources for our local economies and our future generations.
Especially when you consider the stats that these are surprising to most people who hear them. I was even surprised by them, and I've been talking about this for quite a few years. Yeah. 15% of the state's waterways can support full aquatic life. 25% can be used fully for recreation. 35% can support drinking water supplies. So that's a small number when you consider all the waterways and bodies of water that the state has.
That is. And it is something we work on every day. And so we were really pleased to see Democrats and Republicans in the state legislature come together to adopt a real common sense approach to empower local communities to clean up their local rivers, lakes, and streams. Stormwater utilities have been around for some time in other places, and New Jersey is catching up. Unfortunately, we have a lot of catching up to do as far as the infrastructure needed to get these water bodies back to where we want them to be. We really want to be able to recreate in all of them, swim in all of them, and that's something that can happen when local elected officials explore these ideas and move forward to put some, stormwater utilities in place to make significant reductions and improve the health of the rivers and lakes.
Just to close out here and update the latest measurements that the DEP took, it's still a closed situation for all Lake and Pacon beaches, but specifically, originally, three of the eight beaches were showing unsafe levels. This past Wednesday, they now measured unsafe levels at five of the eight beaches in Lake Pacon. They had thought there was a little subsiding in the growth, but that apparently, because of the rains and various other elements, have turned to the negative side. And you can certainly follow with the DEP for updates on that situation. Learn more about the work of the New Jersey League of Conservation Voters. NJLCV.org is their website. We've been joined by their director, Ed Potosnik. Ed, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks so much. I don't want folks to leave too much on a negative note. I mean, the positive is that for every 1 pound of phosphorus that comes from the runoff, about 1,100 pounds of blue-green algae can grow in the lake. 1 pound of phosphorus, can be abated with some real common sense approaches. This is an issue that can be tackled. A little small changes make a big difference to the health and quality of the lake, and we're all in it to help the community of Lake Apac. And I want to thank you again for looking into this, and we look forward to working with everyone to solve this together.